At a young life, I trusted Jesus for my Savior, but I was, for the most part, felt defeated, and sin had rule over me. And so I'm going to start reading a chapter that was probably the first scriptures that really started to make me say hallelujah and really started liberating me. And that is Romans 4. I don't know how far I'll read there before I go somewhere else, but we're just going to read here, Romans chapter 4. Father, we thank you again for your word. Thank you for the work of your Spirit. We thank you for the blood and the resurrection power that's in the Spirit, Lord. Lord, we know we all only have this because of your death and resurrection. And we do thank you for this, the most precious, most missed truth. And we do thank you this morning for this knowledge, Lord, for the word that tells us, and for the faith to believe, and for the rest that we can have, Lord, when we put our faith in your word. Lord, there's many that wrestle with your word and don't mix faith in what they read. And therefore, it doesn't edify, it doesn't profit them, and they're not nourished. Lord, we want to be nourished. We want to be built up. So we know that we need to mix faith in what we read. And so we thank you again this morning for the finished work on the cross and for the rest that we can have. And yet your word says to labor to enter that rest. So it might sound confusing, but we thank you that we even know what you're saying there. Lord, you've revealed it to us. Hallelujah. Thank you. Have your way again. We ask that you would be exalted and praised through this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, hath pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So I saw that I was trusting Jesus for salvation, but not for righteousness. And there's other scriptures for this. We're going to turn to that. But I'm like, well, I can believe God. That doesn't take much in my mind. I mean, I can believe him. So and that makes me righteous, and it changes your everything, because now all of a sudden you're mixing faith in what you're reading, and it made you happy. It made me happy. And when there's, because, and then the Spirit can grow. The Spirit can have abundant in you because you're not under the letter, or you're not squelching it. You're not grieving the Spirit. Because I found out, when you walk this path for many, many years, the ruts are there. And so there's a temptation to just, to go back to that. But every time the love of God and the grace of God and the beauty and his deliverance would get dim. And I was like alert, like, what's happening? And so he would show me what I was doing, what I was falling into, to where it wasn't faith. Because anytime you veer from faith, go back to works, it brings heaviness. It brings defeat. Amen. Defeat and heaviness, condemnation. So that was, and I used to think, well, being raised in a very law setting, that we have a handle on that. We're more prominent to, we're more prone to that. But I think everybody that's born of the flesh is under the law, the Bible says. So I think, and even Paul says, when his focus was on something, try not to do what just happens, you do it. Jimmy, don't touch the stove. What does Jimmy want to do? He wants to touch the stove. So when we come into Christ, this whole thing of faith and believing and the liberty and the freedom and the joy that comes then, because the salvation, you're participating in the full salvation, not in just half the gospel, if I might say. Verse 4 says, "Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace but of debt." And this is what I was doing. I was working. My performance or my peace or my happiness, my joy was on how well I was doing. Does that make sense? On how well I performed. It was on that. That was my focus. And so this all changed when I saw the truth of how Abraham was righteous because he simply believed God. And I had to think of the Pharisees and Sadducees that came to Jesus, and they, or some of them, I forget who it was, he said, "What must we do to work the works of God?" And Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on me." Hallelujah. So there were, even in the Gospels, there was a, I'm sure they were shaking their heads, I don't, you know, but it is how we come to victory, how we come to the rest. Verse 5, "But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." So you mean I just don't have to work? Well, that's what it says. "Even as David described the blessedness of man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works." Oh, hallelujah. This was good news to this little boy. I don't know about you, but this was good news, and it brought such a change in me that I, you know, it's like somebody throws you a rope. You're not going to say, "Well, this rope's mighty, mighty skinny," or "This mighty, looks mighty old." No, you go grab a hold. Hallelujah. Saying, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision?" Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. So it's not really the, that has nothing to do with it. It's just, you know, faith in Christ is what counts. It's not whether you're Jew or Gentile. "And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that the righteousness might be imputed unto them also." Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. It's been a while since I read this. "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." There it is. Thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to keep reading. I don't know where I'll go, but "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect." That's I've been gripped by Ephesians and Galatians and different places where it says, uses that word of none effect. Where in Corinthians, I said, it says the cross of Christ would be made of none effect if I preach with wisdom of words. And that makes me tremble, because what was the cross of Christ for but to deal death to the old? Death to the body of sin. It dealt in Romans 6, it says the body of sin was destroyed through how, when we were crucified with Christ. Well, there's believers that are not experiencing this because they're not believing it. They're still working to attain it. Not through righteousness of faith, but by trying to attain it. The reason they're trying to attain it is because their spirit, that's where they're living. So they think it's not theirs. But this says it's ours. That's, you know, in many, in many towns or in many churches, I get chased out. I get hung to the highest cottonwood tree. And they're not picky. It may be, if there's no cottonwood tree, there's any tree will do. But I'm glad here for this body. You guys have let me be free in my, this is the foundation in my, and this is that I believe that my old man was done away with. And I can't improve on it. Because what he did for me, he did very well. But it's the working, is the faith to submit to that truth he said, the spoken word. That's where we need to surrender. That's where the working is, and not go by what we're feeling or experiencing, but by his word. That's how we are overcomers. Let me read this again. For if they which were of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise of none effect. So there's precious promise that are given to us in Peter, 1 Peter, no, 2 Peter chapter 1. It says that precious promises are given to us that by it, the divine, that we're made partakers of God's divine nature, which is those verses are powerful. Those are some hallelujah verses too, because there again, you know, there's a promise and we are made partakers of that if we believe. But if we don't believe, you're not. And it's not because you're not trying hard enough. It's because you're not believing. Verse 15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there's no transgression. Therefore, it is a faith that it might be by grace, that the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. That's the true seed. For it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Oh, so you're saying, yeah, I'm not feeling very dead. You know, I hit my thumb the other day and you know what came out. I'm not feeling very dead. But God says he calls those things which be not as though they were. And if we take him at his word, like Peter says, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's just throughout. It's not just, you know, Romans here, but it's the full gospel. Hallelujah. How faith is the victory that overcomes the world. This is my hobby horse. This is what set me free. This is my hallelujah verses. So if you heard them from me before, I'm not apologizing. This was sprung on me this morning. You know, I had no chance to get ready for anything else. Instant in season, out of season. So this is who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. Amen. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So that's how you stagger through unbelief. And Hebrews talks about that too, how the children of Israel, their besetting sin was unbelief. That's why they didn't enter the rest that God said, the things that God had said he's going to give them. There's a generation there that did not get that. It's not because they didn't try hard enough, but because they didn't believe. And here, you know, Abraham, I mean, in our mind, he didn't walk perfectly. You know, he called Sarah his sister, well, whatever. He did some things there, but he believed God. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but it was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. There's a rest in that. Man, can you think of bringing that knife up to slay your son? I mean, He had a trust. There's a rest in dependence on God. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now look what it says. Now it was not written for his sake alone. So this was not just written so that we, hey, like Abraham was a good, he was, you know, but it was written not for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Hallelujah. Not a half a gospel, but a full gospel. Thank you, Jesus. Let me keep reading. Therefore, being justified by faith, okay, now we have this, because we're now faith, now we're being justified by faith, we have peace, amen, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Grace is divine favor, yes, but it's also God's ability in us. It's not just divine favor or unmerited favor. It's that. But unmerited favor tells you it's free. But I think it divine influence upon the heart. When God, through because we're trusting and believing him at his word, now the miracle of the resurrected life is working in us. That's grace, divine influence upon the heart. And this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. What is it says in Galatians, having done all to stand? And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. So, I guess I could keep reading. I mean, it's all I've got most of this underlined. We have time. Let me just keep reading, and then for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Praise the Lord. We didn't have to come up to a certain level before he said, okay, you're making some effort of, I'll save you. For scarcely for the righteous man will one die, but yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Implying that we were sinners, and or we're not sinners now, we're saints. We know that because the Bible tells us that. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled by God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Oh, a lot could be said. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men. Why? For that all have sinned. So anyway, I won't go there. Oh, praise the Lord. You were not a sinner. Maybe I will go there. You're not a sinner because Adam sinned. You were a sinner because you sinned. You died because you sinned. That's what it says. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. But now, not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of God, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. So if you want to put, you know, want to blame Adam for a lot, well, hey, look here. This is saying in Jesus now, much more. I mean, we have now, he came and fixed the problem. In my mind, he came and he made, he brought freedom. He is the last Adam. Jesus is, second Adam, maybe in one verse, but he's also the last. let's just keep reading. Much more. Hallelujah. Now, verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. I think I know what that means, but I'm just going to keep reading. Hallelujah. Even though we committed many offenses, now we're still justified because of Jesus Christ's gift. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which, there's that word, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, we're not leaving righteousness, remember? And Abraham is righteous not because he performed did everything perfectly or but he believed. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that offenses might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. Hallelujah. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness. How does it reign? Through righteousness, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you, Jesus. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is that good news? Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. There it is. It is so clear that henceforth we should not serve sin. That is why Jesus came. And now we can have right relationship. The Bible says he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Well, you might say that was a sinner. I was lost. He came to save. Yeah, but he also came to seek and to save the relationship that was broken because of sin. Now we can have right fellowship. We can fellowship with our Creator because we're covered by the blood. See, he came to seek and save that which was lost. He and she also, but that. Hallelujah. That's what I believe. Now, verse 7. This is just a fact. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Because we were crucified with Christ and the body of sin was destroyed. Now this is a fact. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Amen. Death hath no more dominion over him, and sin hath no more dominion over us, because we've been buried likewise in the same way. This is the truth of the matter. If your feelings and your actions don't line up, do not believe that over the Word of God. Word of God first. That'll make you happy. And then when you're happy, the Spirit can abide and you can rejoice and be blessed. And then that will produce that's the seed. That's the good seed. And that'll bring forth the good fruit. Hallelujah. Right here's the verse. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So it's through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the miracle. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto righteousness. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Amen. We know what that says. Verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. I love this verse. For you are not under law, but under grace. Here again, grace is freedom. Grace is of God, and it gives us, brings us out from under the old. For sin shall not have dominion over, for ye are not under law, but under grace. Now, let me just jump forward to this verse in chapter 7. The first verse says, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. Now, are you saying in my natural life or in my flesh man? The law hath, I speak to them, brethren, for that know the law, how the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. See, that was to our in our first birth, to the flesh man. It had dominion. But now that we're brought into Christ, remember the law was our schoolmaster, bring us Christ. We're not under law. It does not have dominion. And this verse here in 14 says the same thing. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, but under grace. Let's keep reading. For what then shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield self-servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when we were, past tense, servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. And it goes verse 2, for the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she's loose from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another. We're not married to Christ, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Hallelujah. Now we're married to God. We can bring forth fruit because we're in Christ. And that's all of our, we like to see little Christ. We like to bear fruit. We like to have our Savior in Jesus Christ, honored and glorified in people, other people experiencing forgiveness, other people experiencing freedom. That is no greater blessing. There's just nothing greater than to see other people and glorify and worship Jesus because of experiencing the blood and the work of the Spirit. There's nothing greater. I mean, in my mind. I just love to see it happen. And Lord Jesus, that's my prayer. That's my heart. No bonus, nothing holds the candle to it. And Lord Jesus, we look to you. Verse 5. For when we were in the flesh, past tense, the motions of sins which were by the law did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. So this is just reinforcing what I've been saying. But now, hallelujah, it keeps. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of the Spirit and not in oldness of the letter. And that's where I was at for many years, is in oldness of the letter. And it gets heavy, it gets hard. But in the Spirit, oh, hallelujah, there's freedom, there's peace, there's joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. So the sin did the job it was supposed to do. It made sin exceedingly sinful. It gave it power so that you could come under condemnation, so that it would drive you to Jesus. That's the whole work. It would bring you to your knees, and you know you need a Savior. You know you need deliverance, which is only found in Jesus Christ. I'm not sure where I stopped. Let me start at 9. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. So there again, it's just continuing the same thought. Sin doing its work, doing its job. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. So that is our original state. We're carnal, we're sold under sin. And the law is supposed to do its work, and it does. Verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. We know what that was. For what I would that do I not. Okay. But that I hate, that I do. That do I. Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 16. Okay, so there is talking about the defeat I was living in. In my old, I was trying. In my flesh, I was trying to do something. And it was defeat. Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So he's still bringing back who we were in the old, trying to, and the defeat we were tasting in the old. And how we can know this? Because he says right here in 18, he says, for I know, that is in my flesh. He's still talking and remembering about the old life, about what bondage we were in. For in my flesh, because the old man is of the flesh, the new man is of the Spirit. Jesus says, you marvel not, you must be born again. And he says, that which is flesh, that which is spirit is spirit. He tries to make it clear as he can, but a lot of people are still confused, thinking we're both. Hallelujah, we're not. We're born of the spirit. The flesh man was crucified with Christ. It's dead. That's what it says anyway. I'm just simple enough to believe it. Okay, verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. There it is. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He's talking about verse 18 still. That was in my old, in the flesh man, in the old man. This is what is going on. Verse 20. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Okay, so I think that's clear enough. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? Then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. If you operate in the flesh, you will always sin. There is therefore now. Remember, in the original, there's no chapter. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. That's what the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. That was the weak link. The chain is only as strong as the weakest link. For the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son, there it is, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He overthrew it. He subdued it, he overcame it, he deprived it of its power. He killed it. For what the law could not do, verse 3 again, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Remember, it says to test the spirits to see if they will acknowledge that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. There's some truth in there. There's some things in there that are pretty awesome. I don't know. I don't understand it all. Verse 4, that the righteousness, here's the righteousness, of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So in my earlier life, I was just confused on this. And to try to live the life in the flesh, the Spirit will, you know, you can't. The Spirit walk life has to be lived in faith and in the Spirit. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Amen. We know that. The drunk likes to get drunk. But they that are after things of the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You know, we liked interceding for other. We're born of the Spirit, so therefore we love God and we love the things of God. Verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. Amen. But to be spiritually minded is peace and is life and peace. But because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither can be. You know, you can't retrain. Like it's just basically saying, like, the pig has a pig nature, right? Sheep has sheep. So because the carnal mind is enmity against God, the only remedy was death. You can't retrain the carnal mind to be a spiritual mind. It was the only thing was death, and then we have now a new mind. Hallelujah. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Verse 8, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. There, that's pretty black and white. But ye are not in the flesh. That's a good verse. But ye are in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Amen. So we believe that. I've had people pinch me. Yeah, they grab me right here in the conference and say, you're in the flesh. I had not thought about this for a second before ever. And I said, well, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, didn't he have the same body? He did. He had scars. He didn't have a new body. When he had scars, he was rose from the dead. We've been raised with him. I don't know. I hadn't thought that through anyway. I just that's what came to me. But even still, the Bible says it says what it does, and we want to believe him, whether we understand it or not. Yep, hallelujah. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. There it is again. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. There's the word righteousness again. When the Spirit will thrive, the Spirit can dwell where there's righteousness, where there's faith, in other words. Verse 11, but the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. I'm going to make it. So here talks about Christ quickening our mortal bodies. Amen. There, verse 12, there. For, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, it's through the Spirit. Remember up here it says it's because the Spirit is Christ in us, the body is dead. So here it says now, verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, because ye shall live. I think that's how we mortify. It's through the Spirit, because that makes us dead to sin. At least that's what I believe. The Bible teaches us that. For as many as are led of the Spirit are of God, and they are the sons of God. It continues just rich. I do want to read in Romans 9. Because this is what I was doing. Romans 9, the end. Let's start at verse 30. This is what I was doing. I think this is what is the temptation for man to do. We don't like that free gift. We like to work for it. Verse 30. What shall we say then, that the Gentiles which follow not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? Okay, that's good news. But Israel, or the Jews, followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Why, it says, wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as if it were works of the law. For they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Jesus Christ is that stone of stumbling, and they stumbled at Jesus. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth him on him shall not be ashamed. So this is where, It's basically reinforcing and lining up with what we read earlier. Verse 1 of chapter 10 says, brethren, Paul goes on, says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Okay? For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own. That was the issue. Establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's the rest that we have. That's the good news. That's what, those are just a few of the verses that make me say hallelujah when I read them. Amen. I hope you were blessed. I am always when I read those verses. The simple gospel that the guy living in a cardboard box can grasp. The guy that went through college is for him. It's for you know, all those that put their faith and trust in the Word and believe that Jesus came for them. Hallelujah.